All right, we are in Hebrews 3 this evening as we continue our journey through this wonderful book about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest of our faith. And we'll begin where we finished last week there in chapter 3 at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So I've entitled the message, Harden Not Your Hearts. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom and your presence tonight as we look into your word together, that you would use it in our lives to teach and grow us. Thank you for the privilege of being here, Lord. Just meet with us now, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, very interesting passage, obviously referring back primarily to the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness in the life of the nation of Israel. I remember the reason they wandered 40 years was because of unbelief. But then that same group of people who wouldn't go in the first time are the ones who had to die in the desert. It was the next generation that was allowed to go into the promised land. And so as he concluded there in the end of the chapter, they could not enter in because of unbelief. It was their lack of faith that stopped them from taking the land that God had already promised, and that God said, I will give it to you. I will win your battles. I'll fight for you, and I'll give you this land. And of course, when the spies came back with their report and about the giants and the walled cities, the people didn't believe God could do it, and he sent them for 40 years of wandering. How sad was that? But it was all about their hearts. We saw the same thing at the beginning of the chapter last week. As God says here, harden not your hearts. And then he keeps mentioning the provocation. He's talking there about when they provoked God to finally, if you will, draw a line in the sand and say, that's it. You're not allowed to go in. Matter of fact, there's a place there in the book of Numbers where God even told Israel at one point, he says, you've tempted me now these 10 times. And if you study it out, there was a literal 10 times that Israel tempted God by complaining or moaning about their circumstances, essentially not trusting that God would take care of them. And so God's response there in verse 11 was to say, they shall not enter into my rest. Now here he's talking about the promised land. He's referring to the rest for Israel was going to be that land that he had been promising them for centuries, since the time of Abraham. And he told them that group of people who hardened their hearts would not be allowed to enter into the rest. You know, the Bible, if you go to Proverbs chapter 28, the Bible warns us, too, about our hearts, that we need to be careful, that our hearts can be hardened, and if our hearts get hardened, it's going to cause us some major problems in our Christian lives. And we'll talk here in a few moments about, from this passage, what leads to a hardened heart. But notice Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So there we're warned by God through Solomon not to harden our hearts. Job at one point mentioned, he said, God maketh my heart soft. That's the contrast. How did God soften Job's heart? Through trials, amazingly. And he often uses trials to soften ours as well. But let's go back to our passage and look at the two main reasons, or two main things, if you will, that led to the hardening of their hearts. And these are the same things that can lead to the hardening of our hearts. And the first one, of course, as we saw here in verse 12, is unbelief. Notice he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, is it possible for a Christian to have unbelief? All the time. Do we trust God for every single thing in our lives? I mean, we wish we did, but we don't. Do we give God every single burden? Do we never fret? We know the answer to those questions. Unbelief will lead us to a hardened heart if we go down that path. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, just over a couple chapters, and we're told that without faith, we can't please God. Notice verse 6, Hebrews 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look at the rest of the verse. For he that cometh to God must, number one, believe that he is, and number two, believe that it's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But that's a big word, impossible. It is impossible to please God when we're doubting. It's impossible to please God when we have unbelief. And unbelief is what God is pointing to. That was the initial problem with Israel. Now, as we'll see, there was something else that led to a hardened heart. But what was it that caused them to not initially go into the promised land? Unbelief. God said, I'm going to give you this land. I've measured it out. Here's the borders. It's yours. You just got to go in and take it. It's all yours. And they sent the spies in. The spies came back and said, it's amazing. And you know the picture of the guys carrying the grapes and just a land that floweth with milk and honey, it was called. God said, go, take it. Israel's response was to say, we can't. Unbelief. Lack of faith. God already said, if you go, I'll fight the battles and it's yours. They said, we can't do it. The people are giants. There's walled cities. We can't do it. And that unbelief, look what it led to. As it says, departing from the living God. Matter of fact, when that happened, many of them said, maybe we should just go back to Egypt. Now, if you study it out, in the Bible, Egypt is representative of the world and sin. The promised land is representative of the victorious Christian life. It can't be, the promised land can't represent heaven. Even though we often sing about crossing Jordan and going into heaven. If the promised land represented heaven, it really doesn't fit too well, because when they went into the promised land, they had to fight for every city. There was a battle involved. Do we have to fight for heaven? No. Heaven's a gift. But we do have to fight the devil and our flesh and sin to have victory. It's a constant battle from the day we get saved until the day we leave this earth. We're constantly fighting to have a Christ-like life. So yes, there are battles involved in going into the promised land. And as we see, when they finally went in, Jericho, Ai, and on it went. We talked about Ai on Sunday. So anyway, we see here that the first thing that can lead to a hardened heart is doubt or lack of faith, not trusting the Lord. Because how many times are we told in Scripture, trust in the Lord with all thine heart? Over and over again, we're told, trust the Lord. Old Testament, New Testament, trust the Lord. Because when we don't trust the Lord, what are we saying? We're saying that God isn't capable, God isn't powerful enough to deal with my problems, and those things are essentially insults to God, are they not? They're almost blasphemous, which is why it upsets God so much and why it led to them being sent in the desert. So first thing we see that can lead to a hardened heart, and we must be ever so vigilant, and that is lack of faith or not trusting the Lord. Now, he does give us one of the preventative measures there in verse 13. He says, exhort one another daily while it is called today. He just kind of sticks that in there. Why? Well, because one of the best preventative measures against a hardened heart is the exhortation we get from each other and from God's Word. That's why he tells us over there in chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, there in Hebrews 10:25. And we saw in the book of Acts how the disciples were constantly exhorting the churches. So this is one of the preventative measures God gives us, is being around God's people as much as we can, being around God's Word as much as we can, like we talked about Sunday night. So that's the first thing is unbelief. Look at the second thing, verse 13. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The second thing that leads to a hardened heart, it's not complicated, is it? Sin. And if you've ever met a Christian that's backslidden, their heart is hardened. They don't have that close relationship with the Lord like they used to have. They don't have that love for the Word that they used to have, that love for church. What happened? Their heart has hardened. And usually what led to that was sin. Just this gradual, little by little, that's how the devil works typically. You know, Christians don't usually just all of a sudden fall into big sin. They gradually creep toward big sin. A little bit, little sin at a time. So sin will definitely, as it says, is deceitful, and it can lead to a hardened heart. Let's go to Matthew 4. Let's look at some scriptures on this, the deceitfulness of sin and how it can lead to a hardened heart. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Sorry, Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Not Matthew. Mark 4:19 or Matthew 4:19 is a good verse about being fishers of men, but that's not what we're after tonight. Mark 4:19, it says, now this is talking about the parable of the sower and all the different soils that the seed can fall on. And one of the soils here is this soil that gets choked. Look what it says. Verse 18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Did you see those three things? Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, lusts of other things. What do? They choke the word. And if the word gets choked in our hearts are going to harden. Sin can cause a hardened heart. Look over in Romans 7, if you would. The Apostle Paul talks about how sin deceived him. Because, you know, the devil, he's been around a little while. We don't know how long, because he was created before the world was created. But he's had a lot of time to get really good at deceiving us and tricking us with his wiles. Notice Romans 7, verse 11. Apostle Paul's talking about himself. He says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. He's talking about his own personal experience. He said, sin deceived me. It tricked me and slew me. We've all been there. And when that happens, the heart gets hardened. Now go to Proverbs 14. We'll look at one other scripture. If the heart gets hardened, that doesn't mean that we've lost our salvation. It doesn't mean that God's finished with us. It just means that now God has to break it or break through and soften it again. And because God is God and has infinite power at His command, then He will find a way to break through. But it may not be pleasant. Much better just not to have a hardened heart. Notice Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So notice what happens to the backslider in heart. He's filled with his own ways. Well, when our heart gets hardened, we're not following the Holy Spirit anymore. We're not filled with the Holy Ghost anymore. We're following our own wisdom. We're following our own ways. We're the king of our lives again, instead of God being the king of our lives. And so what Paul is telling us here is, as you reflect back on what happened to Israel when they had to be turned around and sent back into the desert, what can we learn from that? Harden not your hearts. And he says twice, as in the day of provocation. He says, they tempted me, they proved me, they saw my works, and yet they didn't believe. So the sin of unbelief or doubt can lead to a hardened heart. And of course, sin itself is deceitful and tricky. The devil has a whole huge arsenal of wiles at his disposal that he's going to keep throwing at us to try to get us to be deceived by those things and go down those paths, which leads to a hardened heart. He goes on to say, verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So what is he saying? If we're born again, there's no reason for our hearts to get hard. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Why should we have a hardened heart? And yet aren't we told, grieve not the Spirit of God? Quench not the Spirit. It means we still can quench the Spirit. We still can grieve the Spirit, unfortunately, through the deceitfulness of sin, through unbelief. Verse 15, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, for some, when they heard, did provoke. They provoked. Provoked who? God. When I preached in Terah on Sunday, we looked in Numbers chapter 11. The Bible says, and the people complained, and it displeased the Lord. They provoked God through their complaining, through their moaning, through their unbelief. And we can do the same. We can provoke Him as our Father to have to deal with us. Much better not to get to that point. Verse 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Wow. That's a long time for God to be grieved by his people, isn't it? 40 years, it says he was grieved with Israel. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? We know what God taught there, that anybody above 20 years old, except of course for Joshua and Caleb, out of the other 3 million, everybody over 20 had to die in the desert. And only that younger generation was allowed into the promised land. And so they weren't allowed to enter into the rest. Why? Verse 18, to them that believed not, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief limits God's blessings in our lives. We're going to get to heaven and be shocked at all that would have been available in our lives if we would have just believed. We would have just believed that our God can do anything and asked Him. But they didn't believe. God had told them, He'd already showed them miracle after miracle after miracle. Rain down food from the sky. Gave them water out of a rock. They got to see the plagues upon Egypt. They got to see the Red Sea parted. And just miracle after miracle, they got to see the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire leading them. All these miracles. And then they get up to the River Jordan. It's time to go into the promised land. They say, we can't do it. And yet, how often do we as Christians, we've seen so many miracles in our lives. Since the day we were saved, we've just seen God work miracle after miracle after miracle. And then a trial comes into our lives or a problem, and we stop and say, just can't do it. That's not good for our heart. Amen? Harden not your hearts.